either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com. Leaders.com.
Shifa says, the midwife, that when he was born, other children, the umbilical cord had to be cut off. Here his umbilical cord had already been cut off. Other children, their circumcision has to take place. Nabi Pak Salasam was born makhtoon, there was no need to make circumcision. He was born pure, there was no need to bathe him. She says, I placed him on the bed or on the ground, immediately he turned over into sajda. Then he looked up, shakhisan basaruhu ila sama, looked up towards the heavens and said, Allahu Akbar kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira, wa subhanallahi bukrata wa asila. Amina, his mother says, I lifted him up. When I lifted him up, a light shone by which the entire east and the entire west became visible. She says, I placed him on my lap. Immediately the roof of the home split open. Nazalat sahabatun, a cloud descended. Faghashiyathu wa ghayyabathu, covered up the body of this child. Then it lifted up and a voice called out from the unseen, Tufu bihi mashariq al-ardi wa magharibaha liya'rifu bismihi wa natihi wa suratihi. That take this child to the east and to the west. Let the entire creation come to know the name of my Nabi. Let them come to know his appearance. Let them come to know his status. Let them come to know his nobility. وَآتُوهُ خُلُقَ آدَمْ وَمَعْرِفَةَ شِيثْ وَشُجَاعَةَ نُوحْ وَخُلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمْ وَاسْتِسْلَامَ إِسْمَعِيلْ وَفَصَاحَةَ صَالِحْ وَحِكْمَةَ لُوطْ وَرِضَى إِسْحَاقْ وَبُشْرَى يَعْقُوبْ وَشِدَّةَ مُوسَى وَجِهَادَ يُوشَعْ وَحُبَّ دَانِيَالْ وَوَقَارَ يُونُسْ وَطَاعَةَ إِلْيَاسْ وَعِصْمَةَ يَحْيَى وَزُهْدَ عِيسَى وَاغْمِسُوهُ فِي أَخْلَاقِ النَّبِيِّينَ. Grant him the akhlaq of Adam alayhi salam, the ma'rifat of Shis alayhi salam, the bravery of Nuh alayhi salam, the eloquence of Salih alayhi salam, the wisdom of Lut alayhi salam, the sacrifices of Ismail alayhi salam, the friendship of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the strength of Musa alayhi salam, the jihad of Yusha alayhi salam, the reverence of Yunus alayhi salam, the obedience of Ilyas alayhi salam, the sabr of Ayyub alayhi salam, the voice of Dawud alayhi salam, the abstinence of Yahya alayhi salam, the piety of Isa alayhi salam, and anoint him with the akhlaq of 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. He was made Jamia Sifatil Anbiya, the special qualities of every Nabi of Allah collectively. He had not even come half an hour into the world. Not even half an hour into the world, and already collectively the special qualities of every Nabi of Allah had been placed in his personality. And for the next 63 years, he went higher and higher and higher in stature. That Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, sitting on the minbar of Masjid al-Nabawi, looking at the noble personality of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, uttered those timeless words which it is doubtful. It is doubtful that any poet ever developed imaginative or expressive language praising Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like what is contained in these verses, where he said, wa ahsana minka lam taraqattu ayni wa ajmala minka lam talid an-nisaa khuliqta mubarra'an min kulli aybi ka'annaka qad khuliqta kama tasha'u. He said, more magnificent than you my eyes have never seen, more beautiful than you no woman has ever given birth to a child. When I say that this was the height of balagat, a height of eloquence, ulama explained that is found in the last two verses of this poem. Ajeeb. They say, takhayyul, a poet's ability to express his imagination. They say, takhayyul, the more sohbat a person receives, the greater the heights of takhayyul. Because Hassan had the sohbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was able to reach such heights of eloquence in praising him that after him till Qiyamah no one else could reach. What is he saying? He says, خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِّن كُلِّ عَيْبٍ. You have been created free from every blemish. And the accolade, كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. The There's a picture created in this sentence. You can understand it by way of an example. He's saying, it is as if Allah upon His arsh and the ruh of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in front of Him. And then Allah Ta'ala is speaking to His beloved. And Allah Ta'ala is saying to Him, Ya Habibi, O my beloved, tell me, how must I create you? How do you want to be created? How must I make your complexion? Reply given, Azharul Lawn, Anwarul Mutajarrad. He was that shining, luminous complexion in which there was a little bit of reddishness. I am joining the words of the hadith with the words of this poem. The hadith wherein Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam give the description of the appearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah asks him, O my beloved, how should I make your eyebrows? He says, Azajjul hawajib sawabigh fi ghayri qarn baynahuma irqun yudirruhu al-ghadab. His eyebrows were thin, they were delicate, they would not meet in the center. In between them, there was a vein which when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would become angry, would become prominent. O my beloved, how should I make your nose? Aqnal irneen lahu nurun ya'luhu yahsabuhu man lam yata'ammalhu asham. His nose was slightly pointed in front. There was a luster, there was a light that used to emanate from his nose. So that person who didn't look closely would think that his nose was big, whereas his nose was not big, because of the light it appeared to be big. O my Nabi, how tall should I make you? Aqsar min al-mushadzab, atwal min al-marbu'. O my Allah, make my height such that I am not as tall as a very tall person, nor as short as a short person, but medium average height. My Nabi, how should I make your eyes? Ad'ajul aynain, aqnal irneen. His eyes were round, were prominent, he had very black pupils. The whiteness was also prominent, and there were fine red lines that would run in the whiteness of the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such noor on his complexion, yatala'lau wajhuhu tala'lu al-qamari laylat al-badr. His face would shine like the 14th full moon. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, Ma ra'aytu shay'an ahsana min Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ka'anna ash-shams tajri fi wajhihi wa idha dhahika yatala'lau fil judr. He says, I have never seen anything more beautiful than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was as if the sun was perpetually shining from his face. Each time he would smile, he says, the light of the mouth of my Nabi could be seen on the walls. Oh my Nabi, how should I make your mouth, your teeth, dhali'ul fam, mufallajul asnan, barraqul thanaya. He had a wide, generous mouth. The teeth were thin and shining, and there was a gap in between the teeth so that every time he smiled, a light from inside his mouth would shine out. So that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, Kuntu akhitu fi sahar. One day in dim light I was sewing. Fasaqatatil ibra. The needle fell down. I couldn't find it. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the home and he smiled at me. She says, from the reflection of the noor of his mouth, I saw the needle on the ground. He addressed me and said, Ya Humaira, which was a term of affection which he would use for Aisha radiallahu anha. What has happened? She related to him what happened. He said, Wail, thumma al-wail liman hurima an-nadhru ila wajhi yawm al-qiyamah. He said, what greater halakat and what greater destruction can there be than the loss of that person who is deprived of being able to look at me on the day of judgment? How fortunate those fortunate souls of Allah were who were actually able to see the noble countenance of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on a day-to-day basis. Nanti riwayat, there's no time. Very important, let us understand, this conversation didn't actually take place. This is the expression of Hassan. It كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. He's saying, it appears, you are so magnificent. It appears to me, O my beloved Nabi, as if you told Allah how to create you. And according to your desires, Allah created you. But the mashiyat and the desire of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can never be equal to the desire of Allah. It can never be of that height. Because never mind how great his stature, he was still the creation of Allah. And a created entity has limitations. It has a beginning, it has an ending. Only Allah has no limitations. So therefore the mashiyat of Allah supersedes the mashiyat of anything else. But this is just for our understanding the beauty. Where Jabir radiallahu ta'ala who says, one night we were sitting, it was a full moon night. I looked towards the moon, then I looked towards the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then I looked towards the moon, and I looked again at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Allah's qasam, the beauty and the effulgence on the face of my Nabi was greater than that of the moon. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha says, the women of the time of Yusuf alayhi salam cut their hands because of the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah has placed a parda over the beauty of my Nabi. If this were to be revealed and removed, the women of this ummah will cut their hearts as a result of the beauty of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Every aspect unique, his conduct, his shafqat, his kindness, his tolerance, his generosity, there is no time. Such a Nabi, Allah Ta'ala made him Nabi of insan, Nabi of the jinnat, Nabi of the birds, Nabi of the insects, Nabi of the animals. One shepherd was tending his sheep. A wolf came to attack. The shepherd clutched the sheep away from the wolf. The wolf turned to the shepherd and said, Ala tattaqillah. Why don't you fear Allah? You are prohibiting me from my risk. The shepherd was struck speechless, dumbfounded. A dhib, a wolf, يَتَكَلَّمُ بِكَلَامِ الْإِنسِ, is speaking with the voice of an insan, with the words of an insan. عَجَبَا, this is something surprising. The wolf addresses the shepherd and says to him, should I not tell you something more surprising than that? He says, what is more surprising? The wolf says, you are more surprising to me, that you are busy with your sheep, and the greatest of Allah's Nabis has already come to this world. Higher than whom there is no one in the sight of Allah, for whom the doors of Jannah have been opened, for whom the residents are aspiring and looking down upon his followers who are striving in his way and fighting for his deen. Jannah is in front of you. The opportunity to enter the army of Allah is in front of you. And you are busy with your sheep, there is nothing more, that is more surprising to me. The shepherd says, if I leave now and I go to him, who is going to look after my sheep? The wolf says, I will look after your sheep. So the shepherd goes and he brings iman on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, tell my companions what occurred with you. He relates the incident. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he asks Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says to him, go back now to your sheep. So he says, what will be the situation of my sheep? Allah's Rasul says, you will find them exactly as you left them. When he goes back, he finds the wolf looking after his sheep. He's so happy, he slaughters one sheep and he gives the wolf to eat. One Ansari had a garden in Medina. There was a camel which was gone wild, and a camel which is gone wild is life-threatening, no one will dare approach it. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered the garden, immediately that camel came running, placed its head in front of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, docilely waiting for him to put the rein on it. Then he turned to his Sahaba and he said, Ma bayna samai wal ard, every creation of Allah between the heavens and the earth recognizes that I am the Rasul of Allah. Illa asil jinn wal ins, except the disobedient, jinnat and insan, beside that every creation of Allah. Ali radiallahu anhu says, I walked with him, mastaqbalahu hajar, wala shajar, wala madar, illa qala as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. We didn't pass by a tree, we didn't pass by a stone, we didn't pass by a sand heap, except that it addressed him and said, peace and salutations be upon you, O the Rasul of Allah. Once one Bedouin came to him, and he said, show me a sign that you are a Nabi of Allah. Show me a sign that you are the Nabi of Allah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, go to that tree and tell the tree that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is calling you. This Bedouin goes, carries out the instruction. The tree shakes left, right, front, back, till it uproots itself. Then dragging its roots on the ground, it comes and stands in front of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and says, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Peace be upon you, O the Nabi of Allah. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to that Bedouin, order it to go back now. He gives the order, the tree returns back to where it came from, enters the ground again. When this Bedouin sees this, he says, Izan li an asjud lak. Give me permission to make sajda to you. Give me permission to make sajda to you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, no, that cannot happen. Lo kuntu amiran ahadan an yasjuda li ahadin la amartu al-mar'ata an tasjuda li zawjiha. If I was going to order anyone to make sajda to anyone else, I would have ordered the wives to make sajda to their husbands. But that cannot happen. Then this Bedouin says, okay, give me permission to kiss your hands and your feet. This permission Janabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave this Bedouin. We can go on incident upon incident. Jabir bin Samura radiallahu ta'ala who says, I passed my hand on the cheek of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, for the rest of my life I could feel the coolness of his cheek and the smell of musk, as if I had put my hand into a bottle of ether, used to come from my hand for the rest of my life. Sahaba say that if he passed his hand over the head of a child for the rest of the day, that child could be distinguished from the other children because of the sweet smell that was coming from that child. Anas radiallahu ta'ala says, Ma shamamtu miskan wala ambaran wala shay'an ahsana tibin min rihi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, I never smelled any musk or any amber or any fragrance that was more beautiful than the fragrance that emanated from the body of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Nabiga radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something was wrong with his teeth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. Ya Allah, protect his teeth. He says, for the rest of his life, he was 80 and not one tooth had been lost. Another sahabi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jabir Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in Hunain, in the initial stages, when some of the companions ran away, there were only 14 with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A tide of the enemy had attacked Khalid bin Walid from head to toe. He was wounded, the blood was pouring. He came in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed his hand over him. Khalid bin Walid says, my skin returned back to normal and every sense of pain was gone. Abdullah bin Atiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, with a broken leg, tied up, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, open up the bandage. He opens up the bandage, passes his Mubarak hand over the leg, and the leg returns back to normal. Qatada bin Nu'man radiallahu anhu, in Uhud, defending Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, using his own body as a shield. The arrow pierces his eye till his eyeball is taken out. He brings it hanging in his hand to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who understand anatomy, is not a question of just putting the eye back. What about the myriad blood vessels behind that enable a person to see? Allah's Rasulullah takes it, puts it back in its place. His son used to say, "Ana ibnul ladhi salat 'ala al-khadd 'aynuhu faruddat bi kaff al-Mustafa ahsana ar-radd fa'adat kama kanat li awwal marratin fa ya husna ma 'ayni wa ya husna ma kaffi." He says, "I am the son of the one whose eyeball flowed down his cheek. It was returned back in a beautiful fashion by the hand of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It became better than it was before. It became better than it was before. What a beautiful hand, and what a beautiful eye, and what a beautiful hand that placed that eye." Such effect Allah Ta'ala had kept in the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On one occasion, traveling with his sahaba, they reach a place, absolutely no water. All of a sudden, when they complain to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all of a sudden a sheep comes. He milks it. More than 300 sahaba drink to their stomach full from the milk from one sheep. He says to one of his companions, "Tie it up, but you will not be able to do so." He ties it up. Little while later, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Where is that sheep?" He goes there, he finds that it is gone. Allah's Rasul, they come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. "Where is it? What has happened?" Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that the one who sent it is the one that called it back also. Such shafqat, such kindness, such love, such tolerance, that in Uhud, the blood is pouring down his body. His Mubarak Tut has become shaheed. The portions of the helmet have penetrated his temple. He falls down unconscious into a hole. Such affliction meted out against him, that one of the companions says to him, Bukhari Sharif riwayat, "Oh my beloved Nabi, make dua of lanat upon these people. Make dua, Allah destroys them. Ama inni lam ub'at la'anan." He says, "Allah has not sent me as a curse. Has not sent me as one who will curse. Allah has sent me as a rahmat, as a mercy. Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun." Oh Allah, give hidayat to my people. Oh Allah, give them hidayat, because they do not know. Ulama explain, one is to suffer. His beloved uncle had been made shaheed. One is to suffer such wounds and such pain and keep silent. His shafqat was greater than that. He didn't just keep silent and not make bad dua, but his shafqat was such that they meted punishment against him, but his reaction was still to make dua for them also. That Ya Allah, give them hidayat, Ya Allah, guide them. One sahabi says, as he was returning from Taif, he says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa himself relates, he says, there was a Nabi from amongst the Anbiya. Ulama say he was referring to himself, that this Nabi was rubbing the blood pouring from his body, rubbing the blood to prevent it from falling onto the ground. Repeatedly saying, "Oh Allah, give hidayat to my people. Oh Allah, give hidayat to my people, for they do not know." Ulama say, when the drop of the blood of a Nabi strikes the ground, then the azab of Allah upon those people is imminent. So to prevent even that happening, he was rubbing the blood of his body back onto the body, making dua for the hidayat of his people. Making dua for the hidayat of the ummah. Such shafqat, such kindness, such compassion. And yet today, this ummah has become such as if it has no imam. The name Ghulam Nabi, the name Ghulam Muhammad, name followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the actions and lifestyle of the enemies of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We couldn't find anyone else to show a disloyalty to. No waqat, no value, no reverence for the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even animals don't change their clothing. Every animal Allah has given it a makhsus, specific outward garment. Whether it's a sheep, whether it's a wolf, whether it's a peacock, whether it's a nightingale, whether it's a dove, whatever it is, you will not find one animal wearing the outward garment of another animal. Amongst insan also, for worldly positions, if he is in the army, he has a certain appearance. If he is a policeman, he has a certain appearance, a certain uniform. There is a certain way in which he conducts himself that is identified with his position. A policeman who will wear the uniform of an army personnel will be locked up. Take it further. If someone belonging to the American army, has to wear the uniform of a Russian army officer, he may be a general, he may have served for 30 years, immediately he will be court-martialed. A case of treason will be opened up against him. Bhai, I am with you. I served you for 30 years. I didn't do one wrong thing. I am a patriot. I love my country. How can you do this to me? Or how they say, my heart is clean. What does it matter what my outside appearance is? My heart is clean. Dil saaf hai. So what does it matter if outwardly I look like the enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Or outwardly our youth resemble those upon whom the curses of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam descended. The hearts are clean. It will be said to him, Bhai, never mind how clean your heart is, your outward appearance has cast doubts upon your loyalties. You will have to be taken to task. Insan cannot tolerate that the uniform or the appearance of the enemy should be adopted. How is Allah ever going to tolerate? How is Allah ever going to tolerate? We have turned our backs on what is insaniyat. We have turned our backs on what is superior to everything else. Seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been reduced to bayans, has been reduced to nazams and naats in Rabiul Awal, has been confined to the masjid. We'll hear bayan upon bayan. We'll hear about the sacrifices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'll hear about his Mubarak way of life. We'll hear about his beauty. Sometimes even the tears will fall. And then it is assalamu alaikum. Same day, same night, same actions, same haram, same riba, same zina, same music.
ND513258 Blue Toyota Corolla, please remove your car, it is blocking.
Such disloyalty to one who had such shafqat and such kindness for his ummah. Even that mother who gave birth to us, fed us milk, breastfed us, underwent untold difficulties and hardships to nurture us, made her own sleep haram so that we could sleep. was prepared to go hungry so that we could eat, was prepared to sacrifice all her own wishes and aspirations to give fruit to our wishes and desires. Even that mother, 30, 40 years, she lived with us. Eventually she passed away. We buried her. Few years later, we have completely forgotten about her. Once in a while, we might remember that we had a mother. Once in a while, we might go to the Qabristan. And yet, 40 years of her life, she made ihsan upon us. What about that Nabi? What about that Nabi? Who every day and every night cried for us without seeing us. Go to Medina Munawwara and make an effort through the gullies of Medina, the air of Medina and the wind of Medina and the sky of Medina, even till today. Ulama say, even till today, we can hear for those who Allah has opened their hearts and their ears 1400 years ago how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried for his ummah. No mother cried for her child. No father cried for his child to the extent that Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried for this ummah. Rabbi ummati ummati, Rabbi ummati ummati, Rabbi ummati ummati, day and night, O Allah my ummat, O Allah my ummat, O Allah my ummat. Sacrifice upon sacrifice he gave. Where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala na says, لم يمتلئ جوف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شبعا قط ولم يبث شكوى إلى أحد. وَكَانَ يُحِبُّ الْفَقْرْ عَلَى الْغِنَىٰ. She says that in his entire nubuwat, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never once ate stomach full. His stomach was never once full completely. Yet he never complained of his situation to anyone. She says, my beloved Nabi would love poverty more than wealth, would love the hardships of this world more than its ease. She says, at times, for the whole night, he would be tossing and turning restlessly as a result of hunger. Yet a night spent like that would still not stop him from fasting the next day. If he wanted, he could have made dua to Allah. Allah would have opened up the wealth of the world upon him. She says, at times, I would cry in front of him, out of compassion for him. I would rub my hands over his stomach to ease the pangs of hunger that he was experiencing. And I would say to him, oh my beloved Nabi, why don't you make at least this much dua to Allah, that Allah gives you sufficient food to keep your back straight. She says, when I told him this, he would say to me, Ya Aisha, oh Aisha, mali walid dunya. What is there for me in this dunya? One Sahabi, was making dua. Allahumma sabbirni. Oh Allah, give me sabr. The only time you will need sabr if there is difficulties. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, he rushed from behind and with his stick, he tapped the sahabi on his back and he says, Sa'alta Allah al-bala? You are asking Allah for calamities? Don't ask Allah for calamities. Say, Allahumma atini fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qini adhab an-nar. O Allah, give me good in this world, good in the hereafter, and save me from the azab of Jahannam. One sahabi, Ansari, for 3 days he never came to the masjid. Allah's Rasul inquired about him. He was informed that he is not well. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to visit him. He found that this sahabi was vomiting excessively. So he asked him, what has happened? He says, O Nabi of Allah, 3 days ago I read Maghrib Salah behind you. And in that Salah you read Surah Qari'ah. Al-Qari'atum Al-Qari'ah. He says, when I heard about Jahannam, I came home that night, and as I lay in my bed, I made dua to Allah that, Ya Allah, punish me in this world. Punish me in this world because I cannot bear the punishment of Akhirat. And he says, from that time I am vomiting excessively. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became angry. He became angry. And he said, why did you regard the mercy of my Allah to be so confined that without punishing you, Allah won't give you his Jannat? Have hope in the mercy of my Allah. He passed his hand over the Sahabi and his sickness was gone. And then he said, make dua, Allahumma atini fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qini adab an-nar, for his ummah, the compassion of that level, that he didn't even want them to make dua for difficulty in this world, and for his own family, Allahumma ja'al rizqa ali Muhammadin quta. He said, Ya Allah, make my family deprive them of this world. Give them less risk. For his ummah ease. He didn't want them to ask for difficulty. For his own family, such was the level of compassion. For his own family, he made dua to Allah, that Ya Allah, deprive them of this dunya. Why? So that tomorrow, on the day of judgment, no poor person of his ummah, no deprived person of this ummah, no hungry person of this ummah, could fail to identify with his Nabi. Could fail to identify with the family of his Nabi. He put his own family in difficulty for the sake of his ummah, to the extent it is mentioned about Shibli Razi rahmatullah alayhi. He was a Turkish person, very wealthy person. He was from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a Sayyid from the descendants of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Once the king of Turkey requested him the usage of his orchards for 3 days. So he told the king that I cannot give you my orchards because you will have women dancing, you will have nakedness, you will have music and you will use it for a party. I teach the dars of Quran and Hadith in my orchards, I cannot give it to you. The king became angry. Usurped all his land, confiscated all his possessions, and threw him into jail. The day he was being thrown into jail, he was elated, totally joyful. The people became confused and they told him, what's wrong with you? You've lost everything. What are you so joyful about? He says, Al-yawma tahakkaka nasabi. Al-yawma tahakkaka nasabi. He says, today I have become convinced of my lineage that I am a Sayyid. He says, all my life I doubted that when my Nabi said, O Allah, make the risk of my descendants limited. How is it that I am so wealthy? Either I am not from his family, there's some mistake in my lineage, or there is something very seriously wrong with me. Today I am convinced I am from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The closer the link, the closer the nisbat, the greater the level of qurbani and sacrifice. He tolerated that level of qurbani should come upon his own family for the sake of his ummah. That once, he says to Umm Salma radiallahu anha, that today an angel is going to come to me that has never come before. I want you to stand at the door. Don't allow anyone to enter. Hussein radiallahu anhu, his beloved grandson, comes. He jumps over like a little boy. In his ebullience of youth, he jumps over the hand of Umm Salma, runs inside and grabs hold of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam embraces his grandson Then a little while later, Umm Salma radiallahu anha says, I heard him crying. I heard him crying with sound. He used to very rarely cry with sound. She rushed inside. Oh my beloved Nabi, what has happened? She says, when I rushed inside, I found him cuddling and fondling Hussein radiallahu anhu with the tears falling down his cheeks. And he said to me, Oh Umm Salma, this angel of Allah has come and informed me that this grandson of mine will be martyred at the hands of my ummah. And the land where his blood will spill, the sand of that land has been shown to me. Umm Salma radiallahu anha says that I was sleeping, it was before Asr, 61st year of Hijrah on the 10th of Muharram. She says, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was full of grief. His body was full of dust. His hair was disheveled. I said to him, oh my beloved Nabi, what has happened? What has happened? He replied to me and said, Hadartu maqtala Hussein. I have visited the site of the murder of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. Yet he never once made dua to Allah that Ya Allah remove this bala and remove this calamity from my grandson so that this Karbala could fall somewhere else. His own family was put in front because this dawah and this claim that I am the ghulam of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I am the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I am the ashik, I am the lover, I have ishq for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The verbal claim is easy. If it was just a question of verbal claims, then Karbala didn't have to take place. Then Hamza radiallahu anhu's body did not have to be cut in pieces. Then Sahaba did not have to tie stones to their stomachs. Then qurbani upon qurbani, sacrifice upon sacrifice did not have to be given like this. Everything was given for this ummah. An ummah today, that Allah forgive us, every aspect of this ummah is like an arrow that is striking the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The youth of the youngster of this ummah is an arrow penetrating his heart. The shamelessness of the women of his ummah is an arrow. The haram and the riba and the treachery of the businessmen of his ummah is an arrow that is penetrating his heart. The lies and the deception, the zina and the listening to music and the shamelessness, one alim says, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream. He was full of grief. I asked him, oh my beloved Nabi, what has happened to you? Why are you like this? He says, meri ummat ke TV ke aerial mere jigar ko kaat rahi. That the aerials of the TV of my ummat are cutting open my liver. Such a Nabi, 1 billion arrows directed to his heart at one time and still making dua to Allah for this ummat. Still crying for the same ummat. That on the day of judgment, when Nabi upon Nabi will say, Nafsi, 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 whether it is Adam alayhi salam, whether it is Nuh alayhi salam, whether it is Ibrahim alayhi salam, whether it is Musa alayhi salam, whether it is Yusha alayhi salam, whether it is Daniel alayhi salam, whether it is Ismail alayhi salam, whether it is Yahya alayhi salam, whether it is Zakaria alayhi salam, whether it is Suleiman alayhi salam, whether it is Dawud alayhi salam, whether it is Isa alayhi salam, who himself will say, La as'aluka ummi Maryam, O Allah, I'm not even asking you to save my mother Maryam from Jahannam, save me from Jahannam. That day when Jahannam will come with such ferociousness, tazfaru zafra, screaming, when the scream of Jahannam will peal, مَا مِن نَبِيٍ مُرْسَلْ وَلَا مَلَكٌ مُقَرَّبْ. Not one angel of Allah, although angels won't be thrown into Jahannam, not one angel of Allah and not one Nabi of Allah there will be, except that جَثَى عَلَىٰ رُكْبَتَيْ, except that he will fall off it on his knees and say, Ya Allah, save me from Jahannam. On that day, seeing his ummah coming with mountains of disobedience, mountains of making a mockery of his sunnah, mountains of destroying every aspect of that Mubarak deen for which his blood was spilled and which the family of his blood was spilled. Seeing his ummah in that condition, still he will say, Ummati, 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 O Allah my ummah, O Allah my ummah, O Allah my ummah. What answer are we going to give on that day to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? With what face are we going to face him that we had more azmat and more value and more reverence for the ways of his enemies? We call that culture, we call that a way of life. Ulaika kal an'am. Allah says they are like animals. The only one of sight was Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The only one of hearing was him. The only understanding. Fala wa rabbik. Fala wa rabbik. La yu'minun. Allah says by my qasam. By your Rabb's qasam, you have no iman until you don't make Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the decider in every affair. There is nothing more superior than his way, his day, his night, his call, his cry. My respected brothers, this call of Dawat and Tabligh is not the call of any Jamaat or group. This is a plea that for our sake, the sake of our families, the sake of the entire humanity, let each one of us become the slaves of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make our day His day. Make our night His night. A Nabi of such shafqat, such love, such compassion for His ummah, that the one who sent him, the one who sent him had to say to him, Oh my Nabi, I didn't tell you to cry so much. I didn't tell you to suffer so much for them. I didn't tell you to finish yourself like this for them. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتٍ مَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِجَبَّارٍ لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِوَكِيلٍ لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرٍ وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. Oh my beloved Nabi, lessen your grief. The one who sent him as a mercy had to say to him, don't cry so much for them. Don't finish yourself so much. It is not your fault. That same Nabi tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, how is his ummah going to face him? Prepare some excuse. This lifeline is being given to us, my respected brothers. Throw off the robe of the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Come in the robe of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no greater dignity. There is no greater honor. There is no greater respect. Success of dunya and akhirat, Allah has kept in the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the pattern of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the effort of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For that call, we are told, take out some time, whether it is 4 months, whether it is 40 days, whether it is 3 days even, link ourselves to the masjid. Allah forgive us, today we have become the kindlers of that same fire which is burning our homes. We have become the kindlers of that same fire that is burning our youth. We have earned Jahannam for our daughters. We have earned Jahannam for our children. We have no longer remained a rahmat and mercy for humanity when we turned our back on the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make tawbah. Allah's mercy is great. The doors of Allah's mercy are open. Rabiul Awwal is not for seerat jalsas. Rabiul Awwal is not for bayan. Rabiul Awwal is not for tazkira of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that stays in the masjid. This is not muhabbat. This is not ishq. Allah's qasam, that is not ishq and muhabbat. Ishq and muhabbat is to come before Allah in the mold of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The day has to become his day. The night has to become his night. The maqsad, fikr, cry and concern of this ummah has to become the cry and concern of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala give each and every one of us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله ولك الملك كله بيدك الخير كله على نيته وسره لك الحمد على نعمة الإيمان ولك الحمد على نعمة الإسلام لك الحمد على نعمة الزوجات ولك الحمد على نعمة الأولاد لك الحمد على نعمك الكثيرة وعلائك الجثيمة
لك الحمد على أن جعلتنا من خير أمة أخرجت للناس لك الحمد يا ربنا حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على محمد وانزله المقعد المقرب عندك يوم القيامة جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله اللهم صل على جسد محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأجساد وصل على قبر محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في القبور وصل على روح محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأرواح اللهم إن مغفرتك أوسع من ذنوبنا ورحمتك أرجى عندنا من أعمالنا يا غفار الذنوب يا ستار العيوب اغفر لنا ولجميع أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوز أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهد أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهد الإنس والجان جميعهما يا رب العالمين اللهم أحي الدين كله العالم كله إلى يوم القيامة واستعملنا لهذا يا رب العالمين اللهم ردنا ورد جميع المسلمين إلى دينك مردا جميلا اللهم ارزقنا جهد نبيك حسب مرضاتك لإعلاء دينك اللهم ارزقنا حب نبيك اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومطاعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين الحمد لله.